Introduction. The Period of Ignorance.
Whoa! Whoa! It's almost there.
Wait more!
Excellent work. Morata sure did a great job fixing our idol after the roof fell and broke its head.
He sure did. Let's all bow down and pray to it.
Abdu'l-Nebi, why aren't you bowing down? What's the matter with you?
Bow down, bow down.
I don't know. Seems silly to bow down to an idol that can't even stop a roof from knocking its own head off.
Why did he bow?
Him a kiss?
Why did you hear what your nephew said?
He dishonors our idols right in front of our faces. Can you believe that?
Talk to him. Say something.
Nephew, come here. Are you saying that you know more than our ancestors in chief? Or is our idol not good enough for you? Or are you trying to disgrace our family? What is it?
No, but I... Uncle, why are we worshiping these idols in the first place?
We're worshiping it. We're worshiping it because... Don't you know that your father and your grandfather worship this idol? Are you trying to embarrass me? Are you saying they were wrong? Get over there and do like your people do.
The period that preceded the rise of Islam is termed as the period of ignorance. This term only applies to the Arabian Peninsula. It means that the people who lived during that period received no divine guidance since the time of the Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Therefore, they followed wrong ways of worship. They believed that worshiping idols was the right thing. They claimed that such idols would bring them closer to Allah. The absence of guidance from Allah made people practice numerous vices and injustices. The Arabian Peninsula.
The Arabian Peninsula was inhabited by different Arab tribes. These tribes lived in cities and in the desert. The people of the cities mostly worked as traders, while desert Bedouins followed their flocks everywhere in the desert in search of food and water. The land mainly consists of sandy deserts, high mountains, and deep valleys. The city of Mecca is located in a barren valley surrounded by black, high mountains. The weather is extremely hot most of the year. Allah says in the Quran through the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam,
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا
O our Lord, I have made some of my offspring to dwell in an uncultivable valley by your sacred house.
Water and pasture resources were also scarce. Therefore, sometimes clashes lasted for years that erupted for minor differences over the right to use water sources.
Watch out, I'm next.
No, I'm here first.
Wait a minute.
You don't know what tribe I'm from?
Hey, I don't care.
Nobody from your tribe is going to use this well again.
From this day forth, nobody but our tribe will use this well.
Whose tribe?
Get off the ground!
To irrigate small farms or to have a supply of drinking water, the inhabitants of cities were forced to carry water on the backs of camels from distant places.
The Kaaba.
The Kaaba in Mecca was the first house that was built by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah ordered him to build this house on earth and to call the people to make pilgrimage to it.
وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود.
And remember when we made the house a place of resort for mankind and a place of safety. And take you the place of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. And we commanded Ibrahim and Ismail that they should purify my house for those who are circumambulating it, or staying, or bowing, or prostrating themselves.
Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the help of his son Ismail alayhi salam, built the Kaaba in the valley of Mecca. As Arabs were worshiping idols, they gathered a huge number of idols around it. Such idols were later removed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he conquered Mecca and hence put an end to idolatry in the city. In the year that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, Abraha, the ruler of Abyssinia, built a church and wanted Arabs to make pilgrimage to it instead of visiting the Kaaba.
The Kaaba? You know, what's so special about the Kaaba? The Kaaba, we got something better here. They need to worship in my God's house. Yeah, they need to be here worshiping with us and let those trade caravans and all that money come here, you know?
An Arab man became angry to know the intentions of Abraha. Therefore, he threw filth in the church.
Ah! He did what? In my church?
When Abraha knew of the event, he prepared a big army and headed to Mecca with the intention to destroy the Kaaba. Upon arriving near the city of Mecca, Allah sent birds with small stones. The birds threw the stones on the army and killed most of it.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ.
Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephant?
أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ.
Did he not make their plot go astray?
وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ.
And he sent against them birds in flocks.
تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ.
Striking them with stones of baked clay.
فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ.
And he made them like an empty field of stalks of which corn has been eaten. Vices of the Arabs.
Injustices were dominating the societies of the city and desert alike. Any free man today might become a slave tomorrow, and a girl whom Allah had given the right to live was buried alive by her father for fear of bringing shame to him. Women were mostly treated badly. If a man died, his wife would become part of the property inherited by his sons and relatives. Drinking wine and committing adultery were common acts everywhere in the Arabian Peninsula. The guidance brought by previous religions was absent from the life of people.
can party all night.
All these vices and atrocities urgently needed a messenger from Allah to reform the society and spread guidance throughout the Arabian Peninsula in particular and the world in general.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam preaches Islam.
The child Muhammad grew up in such a corrupt environment. He belonged to a clan called Bani Hashim, a branch of the Quraysh tribe. His father died before he was born, and his mother passed away when he was 6 years old. So he lived as an orphan under the care of his grandfather. However, his grandfather also died when he was only 8 years old. His uncle, Abu Talib, took care of him and loved him dearly. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam became a young man, he kept himself away from the evils and vices of the day. Like other youth, he used to graze his uncle's flocks. He was well behaved and was loved and respected by all those who came in contact with him. He was well known to be sincere and trustworthy to the extent that he was called Al-Amin, trustworthy by the people. He did not like the ways that his peers were following to satisfy their desires. He even could not bear the idea of standing before any idol pleading for help. He sometimes engaged in trade on behalf of wealthy men. It is well known that he visited Damascus twice before he was commissioned with the message of Islam. On the way there, many signs of his prophethood were seen by his companions, and even by monks living in isolation. When he was 25 years old, he married a wealthy woman who preferred him to the chiefs of the Quraysh. At the age of 40, he was blessed by Allah with the gift of prophethood. He started preaching the new religion to his close relatives as ordered by Allah. After 3 years of calling to Islam, he was ordered by Allah to preach Islam in public. He met hard opposition and cruel oppression, especially by his tribesmen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 13 years in Mecca calling the people of Mecca and its surrounding areas to accept Islam. However, he did not realize much success. He visited some nearby towns like Ta'if to preach Islam and to seek protection against oppression. His attempts did not meet success.
I haven't felt this bad in a week.
Grandfather, Muhammad from Mecca is here.
Muhammad is here?
He came here today to preach about Islam, and he came here with Zayd, his stepson. They're outside in the street.
Oh no, Muhammad doesn't get kicked out of Mecca and then come to Ta'if and want to cause trouble? Pass me my cane! Just move away from me, that's all. Hey, you kids, come over. Come over. You want to have some fun with a new visitor?
Get out of here, Muhammad!
You don't believe in that stuff? No matter what you bring, we'll never be quiet.
Get him out of here! Pass me that rock! Get out of here!
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tried other ways of preaching Islam. He began calling visitors of Mecca to provide him with protection to be able to proclaim the word of Allah. A group of visitors from a town called Yathrib believed in the message of Islam and pledged to provide the needed protection. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions migrated to Yathrib to start a new stage of establishing the Islamic State.
The Torch and Darkness. Background.
Bilal ibn Rabah was one of the many persons enslaved by a Qurayshite chief named Umayyah ibn al-Khalaf. One of the tasks assigned by his master was to graze the camels under the heat of the sun in the desert of Mecca during the daytime. In the evening, his task was serving food and wine to his master.
Get me and my guests some more wine.
His master was just like a beast, eating to his full and going to bed drunk. He treated his slaves inhumanly. No one could say no to his orders or show any sign of complaint. Umayyah ibn Khalaf liked Bilal only for his strong body. Otherwise, he would have thrown him away like a useless rag or killed him mercilessly. Bilal had to do his best to satisfy his master. He had to keep his body strong and healthy so as to be able to defend his master and his property. Umayyah ibn Khalaf bought Bilal while he was still a young boy. From the very first moment he came inside his master's house, Bilal received all kinds of ill treatment and harassment by every member of the family. Not one of them respected him or gave him any breaks to take some rest from the many burdens he was ordered to shoulder. As days went by, Bilal felt that he would spend his whole life under slavery. He was weak, had no money to pay for his freedom, or had any power to protect himself against his master's cruelty. Even if he wished to seek freedom, the whole society would turn against him. He would be called the fleeing slave. As usual, Bilal worshipped idols made of stone because his master wanted him to do so. However, Bilal knew inside his heart that such stones would not be able to bring him any harm or do him any good. Many times he intended to stop coming before the idols and ask them to bless him. He was sure that the situation of the society in Mecca would be changed, but he did not know how such change would start.
The signs of change.
Have you heard about Islam?
Islam? No.
You're supposed to know these things. It's the new religion being preached by the trustworthy one, Muhammad.
Muhammad?
Yeah, Muhammad.
Well, at least we have a preacher now that's not a no-liar. What's Islam about?
One day, Bilal heard some people were talking about a new prophet calling people to worship Allah alone and to treat each other with justice and equality. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching people that all men are equal in the sight of their Creator. The only thing that made a man excel others is one's true belief in Allah and righteousness. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was also urging the people of Mecca to abandon their false deities, to worship the one, Allah alone, the creator of the whole universe, and to treat their slaves with kindness.
Thinking about the message of Islam.
Bilal spent several days thinking about the message of Islam. He was wandering into the desert the whole day, thinking about things he had never dared to imagine before. He was thinking deeply about the Creator and creation. Finally, he came to the conviction that the teachings of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, were the truth from Allah. He also realized that his master and the other people of Mecca were worshiping stones that could neither bring them any good nor do them any harm. They falsely told him that Hubal,
and other idols around the Kaaba should be paid great respect and worshipped as gods. Now he was well aware that they had lied to him, deceived him, and they were themselves following wrong ways of belief.
How to realize the change.
Being fully convinced of the truth of Islam, Bilal began thinking of a way to meet the new prophet face to face so that he could learn more about the new religion. He finally decided to meet the man closest to the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Under the depth of darkness, with his trembling heart full of fear, Bilal secretly left his room, heading to the house of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. He followed a way where no one would be able to guess to where he was going. Bilal knew that Abu Bakr was the first man who believed in and was supporting Muhammad's call. He was absolutely terrified in case someone might see him. He kept looking back to make sure that he was not followed by anyone. As he arrived at Abu Bakr's house, he knocked at the door and went in. He began asking Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, many questions about the new religion. Abu Bakr was a nice gentleman and known to be very kind to slaves. He told Bilal about the principles of the religion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preaching. After listening to Abu Bakr, Bilal asked him, "Have you believed in Muhammad's message?" Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, replied that he knew Muhammad very well and that he believed in every word he said to him. Bilal told Abu Bakr that he wished to become a Muslim.
Acceptance of Islam.
After meeting Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, Bilal went back home. He spent the whole night awake, thinking about the difficulties and the problems he was likely to face because of becoming a Muslim. However, he knew that to follow the true religion of Allah was the right thing. The next day, Abu Bakr took Bilal to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There he heard the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reciting the following verses of the Quran.
Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير.
O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily, the most honorable of you with Allah is that believer who has piety. Verily, Allah is the all-knowing, all-aware.
Bilal listened carefully to these great principles of equality among human beings. After hearing the verses of the Quran, he was even more eager to follow the religion of Islam. He immediately accepted Islam.
Contempt of idols.
After embracing Islam, Bilal, radiallahu anhu, went to the Kaaba.
Hubal! Ya Hubal!
Hubal! Give me money, Hubal! You know you have the money, give it to me!
Hubal, I want to marry you. Give me riches and wealth so that I can marry you.
Give me help.
I give you my wealth.
There he saw the silent and dumb idols around the Kaaba. He looked straight into their faces,
talked to them, and touched them. They were cold, senseless, and even powerless.
You know, Lat, I don't want you to think I'm not, you know, I'm not happy with you or anything like that, but, you know, I asked you for some things. I haven't gotten it yet, you know.
Next!
I know you're a god and everything, but, I mean, I don't have anything from you.
You're taking up all the time at the idol. Keep moving.
All right.
For you, Hobo used to be my god. He was stingy, too. You see what I did to his hand?
Next!
I asked you for a wife, and you see the wife that I got, you know. I don't see how that could possibly be a benefit. I asked you for a beneficial wife. I mean, what's going on? I mean, you know, I'm bringing you food here. You're not even eating it.
He asked himself, how could he worship such stones? Or how could he ask them to bring him good and help him?
Looks like Hoobo broke his hand.
Hoobo broke his hand?
Oh, you broke your hand, yeah. Hoobo.
Hoobo want us to fix his hand?
But this is the second time we fixed his hand.
It's okay, Hoobo. We'll fix your hand again. Sculptor!
He thought that it was very stupid of him to have believed in and worshipped those powerless stones that were themselves made by humans. For the first time, he saw them as nothing more than dwarfs. He stood in front of the biggest idol named Hubel and talked to it. Of course, the idol did not reply to him. Bilal, radiallahu anhu, was so disgusted with the false worship of idols that he felt like spitting on Hubel's face. He whispered to Hubel, "You are but a piece of stone. It is a waste of time to stand before you. You are powerless." He ended his whispering by spitting on Hubel's face. Bilal left the Kaaba knowing in his heart that the idols were not real deities that deserved to be worshipped. He knew that the real creator of the universe was more powerful and greater than these stones. Unfortunately, while Bilal was at the Kaaba, there was a man watching how Bilal had spat on Hubel and refused to worship the greatest idol that most of the Arabs worshipped.
The true believer.
The next day, some of the Qurayshite chiefs were sitting around the Kaaba, talking amongst themselves. They were laughing and mocking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his religion. Umayyah ibn Khalif was there chatting with Abu Jahl and plotting to stop the new religion.
Cruelty shows its ugly face.
As they were talking, a man came to Umayyah and whispered something into his ear. This man was the same one who had been watching Bilal's act towards the idol. Umayyah became very angry at what he heard. His body shivered out of anger and his eyes became full of rage.
Bilal! I ate it, what?
He stood up and left the people he was sitting with. He could not believe that his slave would dare to spit on his god. He swore that he would take revenge against Bilal. He stood before Hubel and shouted that he would teach Bilal a very harsh lesson.
Okay, now we're gonna go see.
Get out of my way!
Hey, what?
Bilal! Move out of my way! Get my horse!
Hey, Umayyah! Where's my money?
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up, you stupid beast, and run! Run! I'll grill you! I'll make a sandwich out of you!
Umayyah went back home like an angry bull and rushed inside Bilal's room with a long whip in his hand. There, he found Bilal, radiallahu anhu, sitting in a calm and serene mood. He questioned him with anger.
Is it true that you abandoned our religion and believed this enchanted man, you son of the black woman?
Bilal, radiallahu anhu, replied in a confident tone. Yes, Allah has guided me to the true faith. Umayyah was astonished to have such a reply. He stood with the whip in his hand, trying to bargain with Bilal. However, Bilal would not accept anything. He asked him to abandon his new religion and to go back to the worship of the idols.
Ahadun, Ahadun. Allah is one. Allah is one.
When finally realizing that Bilal was not going to accept anything in exchange for his faith, Umayyah called for his slaves to strip Bilal of his clothes and to drag him on his face to the Kaaba.
Hurry up with those chains!
Bring those chains, he's trying to get away!
Got him! He's down!
Pass me the whip! Right here, give it to me!
Black man and think he's gonna tell us what to do? We got something for him, and we got something for Muhammad, and something for all the rest of us. Hold him up straight!
Good job. All right.
At the Kaaba, Umayyah's slaves tied Bilal's body with chains of steel and began whipping him violently to make him recant. With every blow of the whip, blood was streaming out of his body and leaving tears in his skin. Even though he was being tortured in this very cruel manner, Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, was very strong in his belief in the one true Allah. He kept declaring, "Allah is one! Allah is one!" For several days, he received all kinds of punishment.
Say, get off the whip! You don't know what you're doing, give it to me! I know how to break his back in one stroke. Watch this. Take this!
But he did not show any sign of weakness. Every means of oppression was used to make Bilal abandon his new faith. But with every blow, he said loudly and clearly, "Allah is one! Allah is one!" Umayyah realized that in spite of the torture inflicted on Bilal, he would not change his conviction. Eventually, he tried a different way of punishment, hoping that in no time Bilal would beg him for mercy.
Allah is one! Allah is one! Ahad! Ahad!
Shut up! Shut up that talk over there! Pick up that rock! The big one on the side in the sun. Pick it up.
Here.
Put it on his chest.
He's there. Just set it down.
On his chest?
Put it on his chest. I said put it on his chest. Shut up. Don't question me. Put it on his chest.
He ordered his slaves to take Bilal to the desert, wrap his body with steel chains, and lay him with a huge rock on his chest under the scorching sun. However, Bilal was not heard asking for mercy or crying. The only words that he would say were, "Allah is one! Allah is one!" Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, went through all types of sufferings and torture, but he kept steadfast to his belief in the one, Allah. He was an example for both slaves and freemen. He showed the whole of humanity that nothing should be exchanged for the true religion, not even one's life.
Resistance.
Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, had become a different man. He was not just a weak slave as people thought,
But he was now a great man with a great will. Since he had accepted Islam, a new spirit of resistance filled his heart and gave him a power that he had never felt before. One day, as Bilal was lying on the hot sand, under the blazing sun with a huge rock over him, his oppressors gathered round him, waiting for him to finally abandon his faith. They were asking him to say good things about their false deities in exchange for his freedom, but he was refusing to say anything but one word, and that was, "Allah is one! Allah is one!" They did not want to let him go without satisfying their arrogance. They asked him to follow and repeat their words, but Bilal, radiallahu anhu, replied,
I can't say what you want me to say. I can only say, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one. Allah is one.
At sunset, there was a rope around Bilal's neck. They dragged him through the streets of Mecca and asked children to stone and abuse him. Despite all pain and suffering, Bilal, radiallahu anhu, kept steadfast to his faith. Day after day, the pagans increased their oppression on Bilal in the hope that he would finally abandon his faith. Every day they asked him to say something good about their idols and to abuse Muhammad and his religion. However, Bilal exercised the utmost endurance and patience Allah gave to him. His only words in the face of all torture were, "Allah is one. Allah is one." Indeed, he was a true believer.
The freed believer.
Bilal's patience and endurance became known throughout Mecca and surrounding areas. Men, women, children, chiefs, and slaves were all talking about the slave who embraced Islam and resisted all kinds of torture for the sake of the new light his eyes had seen. He became an example of sacrifice and endurance. All the people of Mecca were amazed to see such a weak and powerless slave challenging the brutal treatment of his master. No one amongst the Meccans could imagine that Bilal would insist on his position and continue his struggle in the face of such overwhelming cruelty. One very hot day, Umayyah really wanted to torture Bilal, radiallahu anhu, in an even harsher and more painful way. So he took him to the desert, tied him up under the burning sun, and instructed his slaves to put a huge rock on his chest. Bilal felt as if his soul would leave his body. At this difficult moment of Bilal's life, Umayyah stood over his body and ordered him to abandon his belief in the One, Allah. The only thing he heard Bilal, radiallahu anhu, saying was, "Allah is one."
"All right, you dumb black slave. In the name of Hubul, say it. Say it with me. In the name of Hubul, I declare that I am his slave. Say it. Say it with me."
"What did he say?"
I don't know.
"What did he say?
Go down and see what he's saying."
"Okay. What did he say?"
"What is he saying?"
"Maya, I think he wants you to come close so you can hear him."
"It's about time. All right, Bilal, you dumb son of a black woman. Go ahead and say it. Say it, and maybe I'll give you your room back."
Ahad. Huh? Ahad. Allah is one, Umayyah. Allah is one.
Bust his back! I want to see his spine! I want to see his whole body from the inside! Hit him again!
Umayyah, stop. Stop. It's over. Nobody can go on like this. He's not worth it. Leave him. Let the animals get him.
Forget it. He's not even worth it. He's a black piece of garbage. You over there. Go and see if he's still alive. Maybe the animals will take him. What?
Allah is one. Allah is one.
You son of a black woman are gonna challenge me! Now it's my turn! Give me the whip!
Filled with anger, Umayyah began whipping him to the extent that blood covered all Bilal's face and body.
Dear and invaluable.
Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, heard about the heavy torture Bilal was receiving. He immediately met Umayyah and asked him to sell Bilal to him. Umayyah refused to set him free and angrily said to Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu,
"You are the one who spoiled him."
Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, replied, "What has he done? Is it a crime to believe in the true Allah?" However, Umayyah said,
"He is my slave, and I'm free to do what I like with him."
Again, Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, asked him to sell Bilal to him. Finally, Umayyah agreed to sell Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, for 5 ounces of gold. He sarcastically said to Abu Bakr,
"Had you paid me 1 ounce of gold, I would have sold them to you."
Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, replied, "Had you asked me 100 ounces of gold for him, I would have paid the amount." Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, went up to Bilal and removed the rock from his chest. Bilal stood up, and both he and Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhuma, went to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, immediately declared Bilal a free man. From that day on, Bilal became a free Muslim, worshipping Allah as he liked. This was the very first application of Islamic teachings towards slaves. Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, could have kept Bilal as a slave under his control, but he preferred to show others and generations to come how a Muslim should behave towards other human beings.
وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا.
And we have made some of you as a trial for others. Will you have patience? And your Lord is ever all-seer.